Yusuf, Rabbi Haber, I just want to dedicate the Divrei Torah that I'm about to share with you to the yard site of my father-in-law, Eliyahu ben Menachem Mendel HaKoyen. Yard site is today Yud Ches Tammuz, and as well as the yard site of my father's father, my paternal grandfather, it's Yisrael ben Tzvi HaKoyen, and that's Yud Ches Tammuz, Eliyahu ben Menachem Mendel HaKoyen and Yisrael ben Tzvi HaKoyen. So we have Shivas B'Tamuz that we commemorate today with a Nidche. The Mishnah tells us at the end of Masechet Tainis, five things that occurred on this day. The breaking of the Luchos, Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the mountain, mentions the fact that the Tamid was no longer brought. We'll talk about that soon, much about that. Mentions that the walls of Yerushalayim were broken through. That's according to the Yerushalmi that was in the second Beis HaMikdash. The first Beis HaMikdash was on the 9th of Tammuz. There was a king, Apostomus, who burnt the Torah. We don't know much about him, but a Greek officer, a Greek official. And then we have the Tselem, some kind of an image. A graven image was put in the Heichal, either during Bais Sheni, again with the Greeks, or Menashe, who lived in the time of Bais Rishon, who was a wicked king. So I'd like to focus on the second of the five, which is the idea that the Tamid, the carbon Tamid, was no longer brought on this day. And it's a little bit unclear exactly what period we're discussing. Is it Bais Rishon? Is it Bais Sheni? Exactly when? And it's not as simple because different Mefarshim say different things. The Rambam says in Hilchos Tainis it was during Bais Rishon that the carbon Tamid, at some point, it was not brought anymore. The Bar Tanura on the Mishnah says that it was a result of a siege that took place around Yerushalayim. Now, it's interesting because if the walls were breached on the 9th of Tammuz, in the first Beis HaMikdash, so now you have to figure out, were they still bringing the Korban Tamid after that point until maybe the 17th? Or are we talking about the year earlier, that already there was a siege, and then they stopped bringing the Korban Tamid a year before, and then a year later, you know, a year and some days was when the walls were breached. Or I should say a little less than a year. Okay, that's another possibility. Some of the Farshim point to a Gemara in Perek Meruba and Vavakama. It's also the Yerushalmi that there was some kind of a war. Those who know the history between two brothers, Aristobulus and Hyrcanus, and during the time of the Greeks, the Hashmonaim, had things deteriorated. So there was a siege of some kind, and they would have to bribe the people outside with money, and they would send down animals to bring the Korban Tamid. At some point, they brought, unfortunately, a pig, and this was a terrible thing, and the Gemara discusses how terrible it was, and it was at that point, perhaps, that we're referencing that the Korban Tamid wasn't brought. After everything is said and done, it's hard to pin down, but there is a pasuk in Daniel. At the very end of Sefer Daniel, which, of course, gives us the cryptic numbers about when Mashiach will come, and it's the third pasuk from the end that mentions Me'es Husar HaTamid, from the time that the Tamid was removed. And here the Mefarshim say we're talking about Bayis Sheni, Rashi, and other Mefarshim. So we're talking about some kind of account that started from the point at which the Tamid was no longer brought. So then it would be a reference to Bayis Sheni. Rashi a few times in Shas mentions some kind of a gzera that was made by the Malchus, presumably the Malchus of Rome. So at the end of the day, I don't think that we have a clear sense for sure which period that we're discussing, but either way, given that the Gemara says it was a significant point that we commemorate the fact that we no longer brought the Korban Tamid, I wanted to discuss a little bit about the significance of the Korban Tamid and some background about the Korban Tamid. We have this week, of course, Parshas Pinchas that we're reading. And that's the famous source for, we read this, of course, not just Parshas Pinchas, but every Rosh Chodesh, beginning the section, Tzavos Bnei Yisrael v'Amarta Lehem, Es Karboni Lachmi L'Ishai, and so on, Es HaKeves Echad Tase V'Boker, we call that the Tamid Shel Shachar, the lamb that's brought in the morning every day, 24, every single day of the year, 365 days of the year, and we have Es HaKeves HaSheni Tase Ben Harboyim. This is not the first time in Chumash that we have the Torah mentioning the Korban Tamid. Where else does the Torah first mention it? Sefer Shmos and Tetzaveh. There it says, "Hakeves hoyachat tase v'boker." And the question is, why does the Torah repeat the same halacha about the Korban Tamid? Rashi in Parshas Pinchas this week says that the context in Parshas Tetzaveh is the miluyim, the 7 days of preparation, Moshe Rabbeinu served as a Kohen Gadol. Aaron and his children were stationed by the Pesach Omoid. They partook of the Karbanos. They were the owners of the Karbanos. They symbolically connected with it. They put their hands on it. But they were not actually offering it. But during those 7 days, the Karban Tamid was offered by Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Torah mentions it there. Says Rashi, that's only for the Yemei HaMiluyim. But where do we know that the Karban Tamid was something to be brought for generations? Olas Tamid Asir Bahar Sinai. That's what we have in Parshas Pinchas. Ramban asked a simple question on Rashi, that the very pasuk, the very section that Rashi is referencing, Parshas Tetzava, says, Olas Tamid Gedor El Seichem. So how could Rashi say it's only talking about the period of the Miluyim, the Torah says Gedor El Seichem? So various mepharshim try to answer. The Chizkuni says maybe only two generations, but not necessarily for all generations past that. The Meiri says that it means that during the time of the Midbar, the Leviim continued to bring the Karban Tamid, but that was it. Only the Leviim and no one else brought it. It's hard to know how to answer for Rashi. The Ramban says that really we know already from Parshas Tetzava that Karban Tamid was to be brought for generations. The Torah wants to put it together with the Musafin that mentions afterwards. So once we know the Musafin were additional Karbanos on top of the Tamid, Torah starts with the Tamid and goes on to talk about the various additional Karbanos of Musaf. Plus, there are various drushos that the Gemara makes from the words of the Parsha and Parshas Pinchas. So says the Ramban. The Karban Tamid was called a Karban Tzibur. That means to say that every Rosh Chodesh Nisan, there was a collection that started a few weeks earlier, Rosh Chodesh Adar, they'd be Mashmia al Ashkalim. People would be sending their donations, their required donations for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash and the purchasing of the Karbanos and various things needed. And it was from that point on that the funds that were collected from the community would be used to buy the Karbanos Tzibur. There was a machokas that raged between the Tzedukim, those who believed in literally only what the Torah says, not the tradition of the rabbis, and the Prushim that we know with the Torah of Al-Peh. The Tzedukim felt that even an individual could bring a Karban Tamid. And they looked at the pasuk. It says, Ta'aseh v'boker, which is a Lashon Yachid. And the Chazal, they felt, no, it's only a Tamid is a Karban Tzibur. It has to be from the Truma Salishka. And they looked at the pasuk and said, Tishmeru l'hakriv l'idem mo'ado. The Gemara says at the end of Tainus and also Menachos that it was a certain point in history, Rosh Chodesh Nisan and the days that followed, that this polemical argument that raged, many different arguments that raged between Tzedukim and the Purushim, we were victorious and they surrendered and they made a yontif. There were many days mentioned in Megillas Tainus that we're not allowed to fast and we have to celebrate. So we only keep today Tainus, we only keep Hanukkah and Purim, but the other days are no longer applicable today. But if you look in Megillas Tainus, which is a very, very old Braisa, probably before anything else that we are familiar with, one of the earliest, when things weren't even written yet, when Megillas Tainus was written, it says that during those days, the Gemara quotes, it was a major victory that it was understood that Karban Tamid is in fact a Karban Tzibur. The Torah says that with the Karban Tamid, we're to bring a mincha soles that accompanies it. It says, as the pasuk reads, Vasiri Sa'efa soles the mincha, a isaron, because in keves gets an isaron of soles. If it were an ayah, it would have two esronim. If it were a par, it would be three esronim. It would be mixed with how much oil? A revius hahin of oil. That would be coming together with the Karban Tamid, as well as nisachim of wine. Again, a revius hahin of wine that would be poured on the mizbeach. At that time, the Leviim would break out in their shir shoyom. I found a fascinating medrash over Shabbos, probably in your schus. We read Parshas Balak over Shabbos. So there's a very interesting medrash that is found on the pasuk. It's in Medrash Tehillim. Tfilo Lemoshe Isha Elokim, the famous Mizmar Tzadi that we say Shabbos morning. So it's in the Yalkut Shimoni, it's on that pasuk, on that Mizmar. Quoting the pasuk, Zevach V'Shoyim To Avas Hashem. The offerings of Hashem is abomination to Hashem. Zeh Balak u'Bilam. That refers to Balak and Bilam. We know they offered a total of 42 karbanos. Each time there was seven, twice seven, 14. Three times is 40, is 42. And the Medrash says, B'shash ha'amah Bilam le'Balak b'negi b'zeh shiva mizbechos and hachim b'zeh shiva parm b'sheva elim. because they offered two karbanos on each mizbeach. So then Hashem said, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mimcha ani mekabel karbanos. From you I'm going to accept karbanos. Tov melo kaf nachas, a pasuk in Koheles. Tov melo kaf nachas. Better is a fistful of something which is, you could say, gentle. Kometz shel soles, the fistful of soles. Shebet banai makrivim lefanai im hatamid, that my children bring to me with the carbon tamid. Arev lefanai mikoa karbanos she'ata makriv, is more pleasant and sweet to me than all the karbanos that you are offering. Lama shehem to'eva, that's a to'eva, zebach v'shehem to'eva. What do I want? I want tfilas yesharim, tfilas yesharim betzono, elu yisrael. But meanwhile, the Medrash specifically highlights the mincha that accompanied the Karban Tamid as the foil, the contrast to the 42 karbanos brought by Bilam and Balak. What I find, though, very difficult, and maybe someone could find an answer for me, I think it's very strange in the following way. The Medrash says a kometz. Now think about it. When was a kometz brought from a mincha? If you had what's called shirayim, the kometz would be the fistful, and when that would be burnt on the mizbeach, the remaining part of the mincha would be eaten by the kohanim, as the pasuk tells us in Sefer Vayikra. But the mincha soles of Karban Tamid did not have kmitza, because the entire offering, the entire isaron, was burnt totally on the mizbeach. That was the mincha. So how could this medrash refer to the mincha accompanying the Karban Tamid as the kometz? I don't understand exactly what to make of that. Tov melo kaf nachas. I don't know. But either way, this interesting connection between the parasha that we had yesterday. So we have, as we mentioned, the mincha that came with the Karban Tamid, and we had the nisachim of wine that came with the Karban Tamid. There is a nisachta in Shas, in Seder Kadshim, that discusses many of the details relating to Karban Tamid. I happened to be learning here the other day, and I overhear around 10 or 12 children in the back table, what we have in Ezra's Neshim there, and they're actually learning Mishnayis Tamid. It was really sweet music to my ears, and they were really repeating after the Rebbe, phrase by phrase, literally getting it down, what every phrase was. It's a beautiful mesechta, and it talks about many details relating to Karban Tamid, but really not just about the Karban Tamid itself. As we mentioned, there's a Tamid Shel Shachar, Tamid Shel Ben Harabayim. The Mishnayis discuss Tamid Shel Shachar, but it discusses more than that. Karban Tamid didn't just come in a vacuum. It was part of a framework of many other avodos that were done. So it starts off in the Masechta about the Trumas Hadeshen that happened before anything else, when a certain token amount of ash would be taken with a shovel off of the Mizbeach, as described in Parashat Tzav. Then it goes on to describe the Karban Tamid along with other things, such as Dishon Mizbeach HaPanimi, clearing off the ash of the inner Mizbeach, Dishon HaMenorah, they used to clean out the candelabras of the menorah, Dishna menorah, and many other things that happened, the ketores that was offered in the morning. The Tamid was done as part of a larger framework. There was duchening that took place as part of the Karban Tamid. It's mentioned twice in Mishnayis Tamid. Once as a recitation, as the Mefarshim see it, there was a reciting of the psukim of Yivarechecha as part of a tefillah. They used to take a break in the middle of the avodah of the Karban Tamid. Before it was fully burnt, everything was put on the mizbeach to be burnt, they would say certain tefillos. They'd say Ava Rabba, they would say Shema, the three sections of Shema, they would say Emes V'yatziv, and they would say the Bracha Britzei, and they would say the psukim of Birchas Kohanim. A little later on, the Rambam says, after they already burnt the parts of the animal on the mizbeach, there will be a formal Nesias Kapayim that would take place, that the Kohanim would raise their hands and bless and say Yivarechecha. And the fact that we have Birchas Kohanim really goes back to Mishnayis Tamid and really Aaron HaKohen on the eighth day of the Miluyim. Was Birchas Kohanim done at Tamid Shabein Harbayim as well? It's not clear. The Rambam says it was only once a day in connection to Tamid Shel Shachar. Tosus and Mesech de Sota says that Birchas Kohanim took place at other Avodas Tzibur as well, such as Tamid Shabein Harbayim and also the Musafin. Now, it's interesting. We daven mincha every day. That corresponds to Tamid Shel Ben Harabayim. We daven shachris, corresponding to Tamid Shel Shachar. Now, we don't duchen, heretics already duchen every day, of course, but you only duchen in the morning at shachris. We don't duchen at mincha. Why not? Because someone could have something to drink, alcohol, or I should say really wine, and if a Kohen drinks wine, he can't duch it. So therefore, Chazal said, do not duchen at Mincha. But according to Tosas, they would actually duchen in the Beis HaMikdash at Tamish HaBein HaRavayim, even though we don't duchen actually at Mincha, the exception being a day like today, which is a Tainus, so then since no one drinking, no one having wine, then actually we actually would have duchen, which is why in Eretz Yisrael they would have Nesias Kapayim at Mincha, and we who don't duchen, we had the Chashats recite, Elkeinu Melkeinu Aseinu Baruchenu Babracha Mishureshes, and so on, as well as the Sim Shalom that Nusach Ashkenaz doesn't say at Mincha, because that corresponds to Birchas Kohanim, but on the Tainus Sibur we say Sim Shalom rather than Shalom Rav. But we see that the Mishnayos and Talmud are showing us that the Karban Talmud was really part of a larger sequence of things that took place, and it was part of all that the Talmud was brought. This is why we use the expression often, Seder of the Talmud. The Mishnah at the end of Masechet Talmud concludes, Zehu Seder Avodas Karban Talmud Avodas Beis Elokeinu. And we use that expression whenever we daven Karban Musaf, Shabbos Tefilas Musaf. We say Tmidim Kesidram Umusaf Mikil Chasam. Many Mefarshim want to figure out why do we change the language. To me, the answer is obvious, because Tmidim are not just the Karban Tumid for itself. The Tumid was brought as part of a Seder, just like we have the night of Pesach. We do many many mitzvahs. We eat matzah. We eat maror. We tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But it's not just each mitzvah for itself, it's the larger chasal sidur pesach kel chaso. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. We want the seder to be accepted. The carbon tumid is not just the tumid for itself, for the carbon that's brought, it's the whole sequence and the framework of how everything went one after the other after the other. We find on Yom Kippur as well, the seder avodas yom ha-kippurim. So this is the idea of what we find in Mishnayos Tamid about the Seder of the Tamid. The significance, of course, of Karban Tamid, we should realize it's not just, of course, we yearn for the Beis HaMikdash, and we're waiting for that opportunity once again to be able to bring Tmidim Kesidra Musaf Mikil Chasam. But there's a tremendous lesson within the Karban Tamid for itself. First of all, the real disc in the Parshas Pinchas points out that the Karban Tamid was meant to create, as we said, a framework for everything else, but specifically so that all the Karbanos that were brought were elevated. So that the Tamid Shel Shachar was putting its stamp on all the Karbanos of the day, that they now had the stamp of the Karban Tamid. In fact, the first Karban to be brought had to be the Tamid. You can't offer another Karban before the Karban Tamid. So that was setting the tone for that, and at the end of the day, it's like a thank you, it's like a closure. The sandwich is really the Tamid Shebein Haban, typically being the last carbon of the day. And just to conclude with the interesting medrash, that we don't really know where this medrash is, but it's, I'll tell you, we can find it quoted. If you open up the Ein Yaakov, which is a collection of Agada, Mamari Agada, you know, collected from various Mesachdis, so in the Hagdama of one of the Reb Chaviv, Yaakov Chaviv, who wrote a Perish on Ein Yaakov, he quotes such a medrash. Again, I don't show where the Medrash actually appears. The question is, what is the golden rule in the Torah? We all know of Yakiva's golden rule of Ve'ahavta Racha Kamocha. There are a couple of opinions mentioned in the Medrash. So one opinion says that it's Shema Yisrael. Right? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. What could be better than that? That's our Pledge of Allegiance, right? Instead of putting our hands on our hearts, we put our hands on our eyes, right? And we close everything out and we declare our connection, not independence, but our declaration of dependence, right? Shema Yisrael. That's one opinion. Another opinion that's mentioned, the Haftar Racha Kamocha, that's Rabbi Akiva. Then we have another opinion, that is, there's one more, and then we have one more. This is what I want. Shimon ben Pazi. Oh, I know the one. Benana said, Zeh Sefer Todos Adam, so man is created in the image of God. Also a tremendous idea. Finally, the last of the mentions of the opinions is Shimon ben Pazi. We find one more which is even better than the others. That is Es HaKeves Achad Taseh V'Boker Es HaKeves Hashim Taseh Ben Abayim. What does that mean? And the Medrash concludes Halacha Ki Ben Pazi. So the idea that I've heard over the years, I don't remember anymore who said it, but it's a very important idea for all of us to take with us as we go into the 3 weeks. What a Talmid represents is not just a carbon Talmid and not just everything around it, but the sense of consistency. Every single day, no day was an exception, the carbon Talmid was brought. The sense of consistency, that's what grounds a person. That's what grounds us in connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fact that we can come every day to daven, we can have our siddurim for learning. Without that, we lose everything. I mean, a person could chap a mitzvah here, chap a mitzvah here, chap a seder here, but it doesn't have the same impact, doesn't have the same power. But if we create a structure, and that structure is chok v'lo yavar, every day is committing ourselves to what we stand for. You know, that's the Karban Talmid. The Talmid Shel Shachar, Talmid Shel Bein Arbayim, it's really the same idea. The Rambam counts it as one mitzvah, just like Kriya Shema, the Rambam counts the Shachbacha v'kumecha as one mitzvah, the Ketores, morning and evening is one mitzvah. The Ramban argues, he thinks it's counting as two mitzvahs. But the idea is that you create a structure in your day, you frame your day, your morning starts with the Talmid Shel Shachar, your evening ends with Talmid Shel Bein Arbayim. We have the Ma'ariv, of course, which is the Chalom Ve'Evarim. But the idea that you have, you're not just coming in without any sense of figuring out where I am. We know where we are. We're anchored. And this is, I think, the yisod of everything. And so we go through the year. Every year has its own message. The 3 weeks, of course, are times that we have to connect to what we're supposed to think about during the time of the 3 weeks. And so on through the year. But one thing is constant. That is, Esakev Esacha Tasa Boker, Esakev Esacha Tasa Ben Aboyim. We should integrate that idea into our own life. Zekal Gadol Batalah.